Hello, everyone. This is Matt Stevens in Dallas, Texas.
Yeehaw!
We're talking here with a rapt audience of people who want to learn more about multiliteracies and multi-MOOC. And they're just dying to know more about this. And we've got, this is one of the webcast sessions from the NEVEO Classics Fair in the TESOL Conference in 2013 in Dallas, Texas. This is what, March 22nd, something like that. And we have here Lane Marshall, Elizabeth Hanson-Smith, and Claire Braden-Siskin, and Nina Liakos.
Yes,
okay. And online, we have Rita from Argentina. Hi, Rita, how are you doing? Oh, Nina says...
Rita, my sister, how are you?
Nina, how are you?
Hello, yes, hello, Nina, hello, Lane, hello, Clary and Bob. It's a pleasure to be here, just dreaming of being there.
Okay, well, there'll be some people text chatting, some people, Tom is the only text chatter we have, has to be playing on the text chat right now. And we hope we're not, we might, I think you need a bit of echo. Is it bad echo, Rita?
Well, not that bad, I can hear it anyway. It's okay, Bons, everything is okay so far.
Okay, well, I just switched off our speaker so that I can just talk a little bit. Hi, Dennis. I'm going to give you a chance to speak in a moment, so get your mic ready, although we're pretty relaxed here. But we have a number of people that are, we're just talking at TESOL Classics Fair about Multimook, which is a session that Claire and I ran. And, we have a question. What is a MOOC? One of the participants has just asked, what's a MOOC? A MOOC is a massive open online course. So actually, Multimook is not a MOOC. It's not massive, but it is a course and it's open and online. But EVO is, in my definition, a MOOC. It's massive, open, online, and it's courses. So it's a number of courses. So I would say that fills pretty well the definition of a MOOC. This MOOC has been running since 2001, EVO has, whereas the term MOOC was invented in 2008, the first MOOC that ran by that name, Connectivism and Connectivist Knowledge. Yeah, that was the first MOOC. Any more questions before we proceed?
Yes, could you explain, and I used to know this, but could you explain the difference between CMOOC and XMOOC?
That's an excellent question. CMOOC is like the one I just mentioned, the Connectivism and Connectivist Knowledge MOOC, which is the first MOOC, which is run by Dave Cormier, Stephen Downs, and George Siemens. And so that kind of MOOC is where they set out a syllabus and presentations and things like that. And they had so many participants that they didn't even try to deal one-to-one with the audience. They sort of aggregated content from all the people who are online, the thousands of participants. No attempt whatsoever was made to, I shouldn't say no attempt whatsoever, but yeah, that's right. They interacted with the audience as they could, but there were no expectations, I should say, that any participant would get any direct commentary from the teacher. But the interaction took place among participants. In fact, Dave Cormier says that you orient in a MOOC to begin with, and Systems Window then orient and declare who you are, then you network, then you cluster, and then you focus. Those are the steps to participate in a MOOC. But that's a CMOOC, a Connectivist MOOC. An XMOOC is also a massive open online course, but it's run on much different principles. It's where a university would try to give a course to a number of participants and like thousands of participants, even they're getting tens and maybe even hundreds of thousands of participants signed up for courses. They're experimenting with that right now. And there's things like Coursera and Khan Academy and edX and establishments like that Udacity, for example.
Even traditional universities are starting to have MOOCs.
Yes, of course. Yeah. But it's quite a different principle from a CMOOC, a Connectivist MOOC. So the idea of a MOOC is that you bring people together in an online space and you have them interact with one another and they learn from one another. And although there's cohesion in the syllabus because it's a course, the course is driven by the participants, whereas an XMOOC is going to be a pre-established course, a degree program that will probably start with videos and then have students hit milestones as they go, and there's a lot of robo grading going, and so participants in theory actually have to meet milestones and take the course in order to be certified. But there's a lot of criticism of that because people say it's a throwback, it pretends to be cutting edge, but it's a throwback to old educational paradigms, where it's didactic. So anyway, but it called itself a MOOC, and some of the original MOOC people sort of said, well, that's a different kind of MOOC, it's an XMOOC. Any questions from the online audience? Okay, well, no questions from the live audience, but we do have a mild... and we're getting our picture taken. So, this is a good time for questions from live audience. I meant online audience. How about from Dennis? Dennis, have you got a mic going? We do have a text chat open. Claire is reading the text chat. Is there anything in the text chat we should respond to? Lane was telling me just the other day that she really missed the roses. We used to get roses from Dennis all the time. But anyway, we all know Dennis very well. Dennis is with us wherever he is. So is there anything else anybody would like to know about Multimook at this point?
I'd like to know how the participants select their focus, and whether sometimes they select something that's kind of outside the scope of the course, and how you deal with that.
That happened to me.
You could answer the question.
Well, my first project was overly ambitious, and I was going to do an e-portfolio, but my idea was to take everything I'd ever done professionally and create an e-portfolio of it. And I realized that that would take months, and this was a 5-week session. And so I backed off, and then I didn't know how to bite off one little chunk, so I kind of dribbled down a little bit. Yeah.
In theory, that's what we try to do. I think I have some example e-portfolios I can show people in a moment. I'm just looking for them. Here they are. Here's some participant e-portfolios. So I just linked to those. So the idea is that you can see in the sidebar. I think you can. see the sidebar. Maybe those will be active. You can possibly click on them as well. But anyway, these are in one course I taught I taught a rendition of this for the TESOL PPOT program, and these were the participants that you see on the screen. And I kind of required them to have an e-portfolio. They felt they had to have one. So I passed anybody in the course who made any kind of attempt on an e-portfolio. But they did exactly. You know, there was a lot of misunderstanding as to what an e-portfolio is. And so I've been trying to get really simplistic with e-portfolios. And this actually was to try to model what an e-portfolio might be. So basically, in my definition, an e-portfolio is any kind of anything online with a link somewhere, you know. So if you've done anything in the course, you link. Well, okay, let's refine that a little further. I've been called on that one by one of the more perspicacious members of our live audience. And basically, suppose you open a web page that says, this is me, and then you link to a few things that you did in the course. That's an e-portfolio. It's basically a record of what you're doing. The idea is that you're supposed to reflect on, you're supposed, first of all, when I run the course and I have participants who are doing what they should be doing, the early part of the course I have them propose their e-portfolios. So I did this for the same with the people who are doing the certificate course. Just say what you're going to do in the course. You make a plan, and then
you declare.
You declare, exactly. That's the declaration. We make a plan, and we try to steer people toward content on e-portfolios. Let's see if I can back up and a little more information about that. I'm trying to back up here in the browser. There we go. So, in the declaration week, this is the declare week. Okay, so. I'm driving from the sidebar, and so if we scroll down here, you can see some of the things. There's Nick Cormier giving our last keynote, and some of the things that he's talking about doing. But basically, down at the bottom here, we're surely going to come to something about, well, this is... Yeah, okay. Well... We're trying to decide, they're asking about how's the course organized. We have a new participant. What's your name? Her name is Monica. Okay, Monica has just joined us. And she's joined us in the middle. So this is the Multiliteracies MOOC course. And these are the different weeks in the course are...
Okay, it's 11:25, so we're going to ask our presenters to start their presentation, do the presentation again, and all of our guests can come around and find another presentation to join us.
Okay, well, good. So we're starting over again. Rewind. Okay, so...
Photographic
guidance,
webcast, and
EVO,
and
TESOL,
and the autocorrect engine to EVO,
and
TESOL.
Okay, well, there we go. We are not EVO.
No, we're EVO.
We're EVO.
Yeah.
Okay, so, this is an EVO session. Elizabeth is handing out brochures about that, Electronic Village Online. Multiliteracy has been one of the sessions that I've been driving. I've been making the course emulate more and more a MOOC model. And you can see here in the sidebar, in fact, that maybe for the audience, I'll just link to the sidebar. I think I can link to the sidebar here. Sidebar in full page view. Okay, this is what I'm looking at, the sidebar down the side. So you can sort of see the resources for the course. And, okay. Well, anyway, you can see the syllabus outline follows Dave Cormier's, orient, declare, network, cluster, and focus. So, we were talking about how how the e-portfolios fit into this. So if we the first week is orient, the next week is declare, and then declare means you say what you're going to do in the course, and you sort of, having oriented, you sort of get the idea that this is a course where participants are driving the syllabus, and if the syllabus meant to be broken, and then, so in week two, they should, so the participants should know enough to declare their intentions for the course, and we'll be introducing them to e-portfolio materials. I suppose that could come in week three.
Yes. Yeah, my question is, do they come with kind of a preconceived idea of what they're going to do for their e-portfolio? Do they already have a project in mind, or do you help them choose?
That's a good question. That's a very good question, because the problem with MOOCs in general, this kind of learning, is that people are always asking, where is the center? Because first of all, since we're different from other EVO sessions, we don't have a set program that we're trying to get people to declare their own, yes, that's right, and follow the MOOC principles. And therefore, instead of saying you must do this, George Stevens is very specific about that. He talks about the role of chaos in learning, that chaotic situations actually develop learning, and this is obviously for advanced learners, you know, people who are articulate in how they learn. But he, in an interview with Howard Reingold, he said that his idea is not to make a path for the learners, but to instill chaos that the learners then have to resolve, and this is how people ultimately learn. So if you take professional learners, like we are, we're master learners, then at some level, we should be able to get out of the fishbowl and into the ocean. So this is kind of a course that is an introduction to the ocean. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the structured approach to learning. It's just that if you have a course of learning over a few years or over an EVO, you should have things at different parts of the spectrum. So like when I'm trying to learn Arabic, I find all the courses are beginning Arabic courses. They just don't meet my needs once I've had two or three beginning Arabic courses. What I need is something that's a lot more developed. Okay, so this is actually for people who are familiar with the tools, or I should say are comfortable with learning new tools. Yeah, that's right. So people who want to try this new way of learning. In fact, actually, if you selected, decided you wanted to take a MOOC, you're going to have to get into this kind of learning, because people are not necessarily going to, unless you take an XMOOC. If you think XMOOC is that's learning, you know, but that's just walking you down the path again. But if you want to get into a connectivist MOOC where people learn through each other, in fact, as Dave Cormier says, what you get out of this kind of MOOC is a network, because you meet other learners. And he also talks a lot about how professionals need to put themselves out there. There's quite a lot of literature and conversation around open access. So going open, putting things open online, means that you're putting your stuff out there and you're starting conversations about your work and other people's work. So this is this kind of thing. It's really trying to get educators together. But to produce something, if I'm writing the course for the TESOL certificate program, which I'm no longer doing, but if for that kind of thing, I wanted people to produce e-portfolios. So in the EVO, it's more a suggestion. I'm not sure if... well, actually, some people did. There's one of our participants named Natasha, who's already blogging. She wrote a lot of interesting blog posts about what she's learning, not only in the multi-MOOC, but in other Yeah, it's putting a lot of things together, doing a lot of reflection on learning through the different EVO sessions she's taking, and also other books, because we also connected with EP MOOC, an actual MOOC that was going on. And to keep in mind, this is not a MOOC. This is about MOOCs. So we were not a MOOC because we didn't have a critical mass of thousands of participants. So because we didn't have that, yes, if you have another question, come forward.
How many people make a MOOC,
Elizabeth asks. Yeah, well, some MOOCs calling themselves MOOCs have had a few hundred participants. Yeah, I mean, as long as you have people interacting with one another in the MOOC. Yes?
One of the goals that you just mentioned, or I shouldn't say goal, I guess, one of the possible outcomes was the network.
Yes.
In a lot of the other EVO sessions, the anchor point is a Yahoo group, and that's where people communicate all the time. In this one, that did not seem to be a focal point. So how was this network going to come to be?
Oh, that's a very good question. Well, first of all, I would say the Yahoo group is a focal point because if you need an anchor, there's your anchor, you know, because anybody who wrote in the Yahoo group, I would respond to them. We were also using Postgres. I was kind of finding that to be the importance of Postgres that I hope it gets replicated somewhere else is that you can put a blog post online. People get that post in their email, and they can respond by email, and this just kind of facilitates the conversation. So in a way, it's kind of like a Yahoo group email reply conversation, but you have the blog up there, and then you have the ideas stemming from it. So,
it's more visual than the e-list.
Yeah, it's more visual than the e-list. Yeah, that's right, yeah. I find also when I'm writing an email, if I'm writing a blog, or another thing I can do is I can write an email, and I can then CC it to the Postgres blog, so the email comes out as a blog post. So I can write to both at once, and people would respond sometimes in the Postgres, sometimes in the Yahoo group. So, you know, you just explore spaces like that. We were also exploring at Modo. So it's not like, you know, we're stuck on it. We're trying to, you know, we're going, we hear chaos is creeping in. Yes, that's right. Elaine is looking a little uncomfortable already.
It's a lot.
But Elaine actually came to grips with it in the time you took the course. I remember you, Elaine took the course at a time when we had some guy from Melbourne. You remember him? Somebody at the beginning of the course. This was a long time ago, early in the century, and he
was that guy.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. No, not that guy. This guy was from Melbourne. But he went off the weekend, came back, and he'd been at the Melbourne racetrack, and emails were coming to him at all times of night, and he was, you know, he was just, what was this, Monday morning, I come back and I find all this stuff, what are you expecting, you know, and we didn't hear from him yet. He signed up for the course and paid for it, you know, so, I guess that was the same one that you were in.
Oh, I remember that course.
Yeah. Wasn't that the one?
Yeah.
And you, and Lane persevered and actually came on and was communicating with me to illuminate and kind of looking a little frustrated, but as you see, look at her now.
It's a long time.
You should see her now. She's got her green cowboy hat on.
You made your own course.
Anyway, does anybody have any comments in the online? Yes. Yes, we want to hear from the distance people. Do you have any comments for us? And I guess Elizabeth is, can you monitor the text chat? We're kind of in an awkward position here because we've got two computers spread out. And I can hear the echo coming down that one. Let me turn the switch that down. And things are really not properly set up for us. And the Wi-Fi doesn't sit in here. I was going to solve the problem by using my laptop and the Wi-Fi, but anyway. Okay, so if you want to say something, just raise your hand, because they have to go and manipulate the speakers. I have to keep them down while I'm talking. Anything in the chat we should respond to? They don't have any questions.
Dennis was just saying that everything is going to be posted to a blog and
Well, okay, I don't know. Yeah, we don't really have to keep this going. Short recordings are sometimes nice, but unless anybody else has comments they'd like to make.
Vance, what did you do after the first couple of weeks there? Did people then start opening their own blogs, or what kinds of activities did they do?
Well, it's kind of like lame experience. What's kind of typical is that some people don't get it at all. Yeah, and so especially if you don't have that, that's where the massive comes in. If you're massive, you know, actually the attrition rate of X-books is, some people say, is a big problem, because you might have 20% completion rate. So you start out with 20,000 people, and you get, 4,000 completions? Wow, that's pretty astounding. But, you know, it might even be 5. So you get 500 people who complete the course. We were asked how many people participated in the course. Most people, I think, gave the number of Yahoo who participated. But what I did is I went into the spreadsheet people had to fill out, and I think I came up, there were 39 entries in that spreadsheet. So 39 people engaged enough to actually put an entry in the spreadsheet. But then later on I realized, since others had hundreds of people, well, I went in and counted our Yahoo group, and we had 60 people signed up for the Yahoo group. So of those 60, 39 filled in the spreadsheet. So you got 40 right there. It was like 20 right there. Didn't engage at all. Okay, so some people went in and filled in the spreadsheet. And some of the names I recognized, they participated. You know, probably had about 10 or 15 or 20 people who actually communicated during the course. Yeah, so, you know, it's not bad. I don't know if anybody really produced an e-port. Well, except officially, they might not have produced one just for the course, but they did produce some. We just had somebody join us. We're webcasting, by the way. How are you?
Great.
You want to come closer? You can talk on the mic. This is Muncie, I think.
Hi.
Monica. Another Monica.
Okay.
She wants to know what this is about. That's her question. Okay. We're talking about the Multiliteracies MOOC. But actually, it's a Multiliteracies course for Electronic Village Online. And Elizabeth has some brochures that she gave everyone. This is Electronic Village Online.
Yeah.
One of the courses that was in the Electronic Village Online. So, this one is about multiliteracies. It's been a multiliteracies course for some time, and we're running it on the MOOC model. So I guess would your next question be, what is a MOOC? Monica is studying. Yes. Okay. Yeah. You're our one. Would you like to come closer? You can use the microphone. Okay, well, we're webcasting. We're one of the sessions that's webcasting here, so I'm actually webcasting. And we've had people stop in, this is being recorded into, this is Illuminate, and there's some people in the live audience. There's Rita from Argentina, and Dennis is in Arizona, and these people actually have been involved in the EVO, or the Multiple Literacy Course, and I'm the moderator for the Multiple Literacy Course, one of them. So this is the course that, I guess, actually what we should probably do is back up and say, what is EVO? Do you know what EVO is? Electronic Village of Hope. Yeah? Okay. Well, maybe that's a good place to start. EVO, Electronic Village of Hawaii. We can probably hop over there. So do you want to talk about EVO?
Yes, the Electronic Village Online is offered by the TESOL Call Intersection, and it's free to everybody all around the world. It takes place in January and February, and we offer 10 to 15 different courses, and you just choose the one or more that you want, sign up and take it, and it's all free. You don't even have to be a TESOL member, so get all your friends to come and go to it. Also, the announcement comes out on email lists and the call IS list. What is your affiliate? Ecuador. Is there an Ecuador TESOL?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay, so we'll try and make sure the Ecuador list gets an announcement. It goes out in December. And that describes all of the courses that are offered. So anybody can join. Yeah, they're teachers, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We try to offer things some of the courses are about tools that are used, like podcasting and Vance is doing kind of a more advanced course for people to talk about massive online open courses, which is a very hot topic. We have drama. They're using drama to teach English. They're right across the way demonstrating. What else do they have? Business English, neuroscience. Some focus on tools, like podcasting. Some focus on discussion of hot topics, like neuroscience and learning language. Digital storytelling is usually one we have. So it just depends on what people want to offer, and we announce it in December. So that's the Electronic Village. It's a really nice function that the call intersection does. Yeah, Lane was just saying you build your technology skills as you're learning pedagogical ideas and principles, and so it's a nice combination, and it's free. They're January, February, 5 weeks. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Vance, why don't you go ahead and...
Okay. Well, anyway, this session we're talking about now is about the multi-MOOC session, which is one of the sessions in the EVO. And this is, these are all of them right here. This, if you go to the, I think you have that link, EVO sessions. So if you started there at evosessions.pbworks.com, then you'd find out about all of the sessions in the past. These are the past sessions, but as she was saying, in January, December probably. In December, they'll have the ones for 2014. And so you find a similar list of offerings like here. So you see what sessions that you want to sign up for, and you can sign up for any one or ones you want. They're free. It's basically the big investment is time. So if you did one session really well, you'd probably learn a lot. If you did two sessions, well, you could do two or three and work in one or two, you know. So a lot of people do, you know, we lurk in each other's sessions, and, you know, we try to learn that way. But you basically meet teachers, like, we're all, actually a lot of people in this room are connected with that, because we've been doing it since 2001, so that's 13 years now. So we're kind of surprised that people haven't heard anything about it. You haven't heard about that before? Okay. Yeah, but it's free. Anybody can do it. I suppose we have probably a couple thousand participants. How many participants do we have all total? 1,500, yeah. Okay. We have fewer sessions. Yeah. But anyway, the one that we're talking about is the, we were talking about multiple books.
John,
why do we do it from January to February? The idea is, supposed it was originally conceived as something to do with the building leading up to the conference. So you didn't just come here for a few minutes.
Run up.
Yeah, but you actually develop some expertise. As you see, we kind of it works like that, you know. So we actually come here having done a little something in advance, you know. You don't just have to take the sessions, you can also take them and see what they're like, and then do your own. We need moderators as well. So you have skills in Ecuador, or, you know, whatever you want to do, you know, show people you have something that you're using to do particularly well at, like Evelyn in Venezuela does podcasting, for example, that can do that for some time. The neurosciences comes from Brazil, people in Brazil.
This is asking when and where the TPO sessions are announced. I'm saying on the call community is going to be online.
Yes, they're announced. That's a good question. Where are they announced? We try to spam all the lists we can. I'm just going to move the screen share up. If you're following this, you can see the URL at the top. It's or can you see the URL? I don't know if you can or not, but anyway, I'll just put it in the text chat. When I have to pull the screen back. Okay, like this, I'm speaking to it as well. Let me just ask if you're, is there any comments from the voices from online? I'm going to put my microphone down and, if anybody wants to talk online, I'll put that URL in the text chat.
Everything very clear, boss. Very interesting. And I hope that the people who haven't been able to join you so far find this a good way to start, because your multi-MOOC and your participation in EBL sessions is very, very, very good. So same as all other sessions.
All right. Turn it up. Oh, okay. Cool. Monica has left us. But she was very appreciative of what we were talking about. I suppose anyway, I suppose what I'm going to do is if anybody wants to make comments in the online chat, there's Dennis and Rita there. we just heard from Rita a second ago. Have to say, I didn't really, couldn't hear what you said. But would you like to say it again? You were talking. Oh, okay. Also, kind of. Oh, about the usefulness of value video. Okay, yes, thank you. Oh, thanks, Dennis. Yeah, thanks. Okay. All right, well, we do have it on the recording, and we'll hear it again. We're making recordings using Illuminate Publish. We're making MP3 recordings, and also the recordings are being posted. Let me put that link in and show you where they're being posted. They're having trouble, they're at the Cal, no, this is not EBO, but this is where the recordings are being made. So Command C, okay. Will there be a new URL? Yes. Oh, that's a good question. Dennis is asking, okay, well, you answered it. Yes, okay. Dennis is asking if the, for the benefit of those listening to the MP3 recording, Dennis is asking if the URL for the sessions, which is for the EVO sessions, evosessions.pbworks.com, will be the same or different.
Thank you for visiting the EVSnare Classics. It's officially finished, and we will have another EVSnare beginning in about 10 minutes. Thank you.
Okay, well, the giant hook has been extended from the sky, and I just put in our text chat the link where you can find the recordings, the Illuminate recordings, and also the MP3 recordings as we're making them from the Illuminate sessions. So at calis2013.pbworks.com, that's where you'll find that. And then you'll find EVO sessions about the, that's where you'll find in, when the call for participation comes out in December, that's where you'll find EVO sessions.pbworks.com. You'll find the announcements for the next EVO sessions. And this is goodbye Gutenberg.pbworks.com, that's where most of the literacy is. And if you're on an iPad or a mobile device, you could hear from the other participants in our chat. They're all. Any last words as we're leaving? A last goodbye, perhaps?
Lane? I think it was a wonderful.
She's all choked up about it.
It was a wonderful experience, and because I participated more in the beginning and then kind of left off, I'm definitely going to do it again next year.
Yay! What about you, Claire?
Oh, yes, it was really nice to touch base with Dennis and with Rita.
Okay.
Now I'm flying back to Pittsburgh.
Okay. We're scattering like seeds in the wind. Okay, well, thanks, Rita and Dennis, for coming along, and Elizabeth wants to say a last goodbye.
Yeah. Rita and Dennis, thanks for joining us. That was really great. And Dennis, you can look at this web page that Vance has put up and just slide down and you'll see what's coming up in the way of webcasts in the next hour. And I think that's going to be about the end of the convention, isn't it? Yeah, we're down to Saturday at 11. We did that, and that was it. Yeah, there's more because they just announced they're going to have another.
It's 3:00.
3:00 our time. 3 o'clock Central State time. Yeah. Harmony and ESP practice with computers, video and digital media section. So, it should be fun. The webcast is going on. So, come on back. The link is there on this website. And thanks for participating. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
I know.
And we'll need to clear the room so we can harvest our recording. Okay. Bye-bye.
Great job, Ben. Yes.
Yeah.
It's hard when you have to jockey everything and people, you know, supposedly
it's just that switch this off.
Do the same thing twice for 25 minutes.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm having trouble finding my tools. I can't stop the recording because, oh, there they are. I found it. I'm on a Macintosh so hard. Okay, goodbye.